You have more influence than you think. Chapter 6, Power and Perceived Influence. Power is often defined as the capacity to influence others, and you would think that people with power would be acutely aware over their influence, but in fact, power sometimes leads people to underestimate the impact of their words and actions on others even more. Two things can make people with power more oblivious to their influence on others. When they have power, they make less of an effort to take other people's perspectives, which sounds bad, but it's mostly practical, because people with power aren't as dependent on people without power as the other way around. Studies show that when we're in positions of power, we fail to consider how others are likely to see and hear the things we do and say. So the times when we are least likely to consider how others are likely to interpret our behaviors are the very times when the things we do and say impact other people the most. But it's not always true. There are people who are more communally oriented, or sometimes there are explicit factors where considering other people's perspectives is, you know, imperative in a given situation. But we'll come back to the effect of thinking about power as responsibility later in the chapter. So the first thing power does is lead people to ignore others' perspectives. The second thing power does is to reduce what psychologists call the press of the situation, which means that people with power feel freer to do what they want rather than what the situation calls for. They feel freer to be mavericks and are less worried about how they look to others. They don't feel as obligated as the rest of us to bow down to the kinds of social pressures and concerns that are common. They're less likely to stress about the possibility of embarrassment, and they also assume that other people are free to do what they want. And these two aspects, a reduction in perspective taking and increasing the tendency to view others as having the freedom to do what they want, can have a counterintuitive effect of making people in positions of power especially likely to underestimate their influence over other people. You might make a suggestion to a subordinate, but to them it's not really a suggestion, and yet you're probably oblivious to it. And you won't be spending time thinking about how the subordinate interpreted your suggestion. And you won't realize how forcefully your mild suggestion came across. So people in positions of power should think twice about the things they ask others to do. For a long time, people argued against bans on relationships between bosses and subordinates, claiming that two adults with good intentions should be trusted to manage their own power dynamics. But no relationship can be truly consensual if one party has so much more to lose than the other by rejecting someone's initial romantic interest. Imbalanced power dynamics have the potential to result in sexual coercion and abuses of power, and especially to leave the lower power partner worse off afterward. Just like how Monica Lewinsky struggled to find a job after her relationship with Bill Clinton, who in turn had no problem to keeping his presidency and finding plenty of work afterwards. Problem is that people in power they don't tend to realize when they're abusing that power. They just assume the other person will simply say no. Plus, there's the thing about people avoiding a pursuer who is a coworker afterwards. 67% of participants who recalled the time they rejected a senior colleague's romantic advances reported avoiding that person afterwards. But not one participant who recalled a time they'd been rejected by a junior colleague recalled that that person subsequently avoided them. Men are more likely to infer romantic interest from a friendly conversation than women. So men in power may be inclined to misread deference and friendliness from women, leading them to assume that they are just as interested in him as he is in her. People in position of power wouldn't necessarily realize if a relationship wasn't consensual, and that leaves it up to the subordinates. But as we've seen previously, we tend to overestimate how comfortable people would be to actually speak up about such abuses. And there are other forms of power, one of which is systemic power. And one of the most entrenched examples of it in America is systemic racism, which refers to racial disparities that are baked into the structures of our institutions. And it can be seen in such things as like the wage gap and differences in employment rates, disparities in health outcomes, disproportionate rates of incarceration, police use of force, and persistently segregated school systems. In the aftermath of the George Floyd thing, with all the Black Lives Matter and racial Me Too things that were disclosed on the internet, it was eye-opening for so many white Americans. And this is because a benefit of being in power is that whites can imagine that they are the norm and that other people have race. It's called the comfort of racial invisibility. So black people, quote, whiten their resumes or engage in code switching at work to look and sound more professional, i.e. white, etc., while white people just pretend race doesn't exist. And so it gives white people little incentive to seek out information about the day-to-day experiences of black people. So it's been said that many white people have no concept of the role they play, passively or actively, to perpetuate conditions of racism when phrases such as the whitest black kid I know, or token black friend, or code switching, like talking in slang around his black a white person talking in slang around his black friends, etc. Reading all those comments from black people led white people to ask themselves, does someone have a story about me, and would I even know if they did? And the answers for most white people are most likely yes, and quite possibly no, respectively. White people's careless and racially insensitive remarks are sometimes referred to as microaggressions and can even accumulate in the stress of a black person's life so that a premature aging effect may occur, which is called weathering, because it causes so much stress for them at work and school. Power as responsibility. To review, power can exacerbate our tendency to underestimate our influence over others, and it's particularly difficult to say no to someone who has power over us. But having power makes saying no look easy. This can ultimately make people in positions of power oblivious to lines they may unwittingly cross. But it's not inevitable. Like some leaders, like Barack Obama, are aware of how compelled subordinates might feel to conform to their opinions, so he chooses to speak last in a meeting, for example. Others cultivate a culture of helping in which senior executives don't need to jump in. The difference between these types of leaders and the others who are oblivious is in the way that they see, in the way they construe their power over others. And they reflect on how they're responsible for other people's outcomes. All power comes with opportunity and responsibility. Most people, particularly in Western cultures, tend to be more attuned to the opportunities afforded by power than the responsibilities that come along with it. People who construe their power primarily in terms of responsibility are more likely to recognize the influence they wield with their power and be mindful of how they use it. It's because people who construe their power as responsibility tend to focus more on others. And when someone like that makes an impulse, when they have an impulse or make a decision, they're more likely to think carefully about how following through on that would impact everyone else. These types of people assign fairer workloads and show greater interpersonal sensitivity. They're less cavalier about crossing lines and making inappropriate requests. To summarize, people in positions of power have disproportionate amount of influence over others, and at the same time, the psychological experience of having power makes it even harder to recognize that influence. What this ultimately means is that people in positions of power need to work even harder to make themselves aware of and to take responsibility for how their words and actions impact others.